There is going to be a terrific event tonight as well. The Chapel Hill Public Library is holding another Nerd Night, 7 p.m. at Carolina Brewery right downtown. Everyone's invited to come out, have a good time, and hear three short, fun talks by local nerds about their areas of expertise. This month's theme, fittingly, because yesterday was Election Day, is democracy, and I'm going to be one of the guest speakers. Not one of the guest speakers, but a nerd nonetheless, is Chapel Hill Public Library Director Susan Brown, who joins us here in the studio for another round of Talking Books. How are you?
I'm great.
Yeah,
sup,
right?
Nerd.
Hey, nerd.
Sup,
how are you?
Nerd.
Yeah.
The proper response is, sup, geek. And then I say, sup, dork.
Uh-huh.
And then I think we're out.
And then we're dweeb? Done, right? Dweeb, maybe? I don't know. I had a friend in grad school who, like, had created, just a stick figure character that was just the dweeb, and he just drew the dweeb and a whole bunch of, like going on adventures and things.
It's like the movie,
The Jerk?
No. Although I do love that movie.
Not a bad,
Big Lebowski. The Dude.
Oh, The Dude.
The Dude.
Yeah. I feel like my guess was closer than your actual answer.
But yes, nerd.
It's going to be
fellow
fun.
Nerd.
Yes.
And calling all nerds of Chapel Hill. Tonight is Nerd Night. So, yes, the Chapel Hill Public Library is involved, but there's actually a loose coalition.
Yeah, there's a lot of organizations
behind
coming
Nerd
together.
Night. So the idea was to bring folks together to launch this thing and just kind of see how it goes. So it's Chapel Hill Public Library, Meg McGurk and her merry band down at the Downtown Partnership, Jonathan Frederick, or as I like to call J. Fred from the Moorhead Planetarium and Science Center, and Emily Jack from UNC Library. So we kind of came together.
Awesome.
I'd been involved with Nerd Nights before. Some of them had been to Nerd Nights, and some of them just liked the idea of a Nerd Night. So we have recently launched a monthly Nerd Night Chapel Hill
This is
series.
Number three, right?
This is numero tres.
Yes.
Correct. So the idea is Nerd Night started at a bar in Boston years ago. And the idea is people that come, so it's always in a bar, and it's all about grown-ups coming together to learn things together in a fun, relaxed atmosphere.
Yep.
With beer.
It's going to be fun.
That's a key thing. It's super fun.
Yeah. We
felt like it was perfect for Chapel Hill. It's a college town full of nerds, full of great venues downtown. So Nerd Night Chapel Hill. There's also a recently launched Nerd Night Raleigh, too. But Nerd Night Chapel Hill is always on the, what is this, the second Wednesday
second
of the month?
Wednesday
the second Wednesday of the month. It's currently always downtown, but we haven't ruled out non-downtown venues, but it's currently downtown. And we change venues each month, both to kind of spread the love, but also to just try out some spaces. So we've been at the Baxter, we've been at Imbibe, and this month we're at Carolina Brewery.
Nice.
In their new upstairs space. 7 o'clock. And what is Nerd Night? It's 3 20-minute talks by people who are nerdy about things.
Yeah.
So it could be science, it could be math, it could be art,
politics
it could
and
be
history.
Politics
in this
and
case.
History.
Yep.
So it's super fun, and we sort of use all of our networks to recruit speakers. We've been taking a thematic approach. It's really fun. It's a different crowd every time.
Awesome.
You can come for all of it, for some of it. It's great.
And lest you ever, if you're listening out there, lest you ever doubt that WCHL is a nerdy radio station, two of tonight's speakers were on WCHL last night. I'm one of them, and then Tom Jensen from Public Policy Polling is going to be talking about conspiracy theories, right?
He is.
Yeah.
Yes. Let me pull up the name of his talk. What was it? 4% of people will believe anything.
Yep.
Conspiracy theories, surprising numbers of your friends and neighbors believe.
Yeah.
I've seen his slides. They're pretty
I'm
great.
I'm super excited about this. We've actually talked a little bit about this topic on the air. Like every time a poll comes out and you see some ridiculous result, it's like, well, you can get four people to say yes to anything
right.
on a poll. So, yeah.
And I've also seen your slides. And your talk's going to be pretty great.
My talk's going to be good. I hope I can get through it all in 20 minutes. We'll see.
That's right.
I might have to start flying towards the end,
I'm
but that's fine.
You,
that's fine.
Meg McGurk, I'm thinking about getting her a, not a gong, but like the shepherd's hook, because she has been our timekeeper.
I feel
she's
like
hardcore.
I feel like a gong would be really cool.
Right?
Like, especially in Carolina Brewery, because we're all upstairs. I haven't been to that upstairs space yet
either.
Since they renovated, but I haven't been up there, but everyone's going to be up there. Imagine Meg McGurk, like when time goes up, like wong, and then everyone downstairs just like slowly turns up. It's like, what on earth is going on?
And then they come up to see what's going on.
Exactly. People outside walking on Franklin Street, because they'll have those windows open, probably not tonight because it's raining, but you know, on an ordinary night, they'd have the windows open. People outside would hear the gong, and they'd just like walk to it like Pavlov's dogs.
Or if you don't stop talking, if you barrel on through Meg's gong, she would just like shove you out the window. No, I'm sorry. Then you would fall to the street, and then people would say, what's going on up there?
And
they would
then
still
they'd come
up.
To
that
listen,
would be weird.
Yes, yeah.
But your talk is the founders.
Yes.
They're just
They're
like us.
Just like us, yeah.
Much like celebrities.
All of the crazy stuff that happens today, what are the parallels from the 18th century?
It all happened before.
Yep. It's all happened before.
200 years ago.
Including some crazy stuff. Like, we're going to talk about this redistricting fight from 2003 in Texas and how there's an exact parallel from 1787. What else are we going to talk about? Oh, now I'm blanking, but yeah.
So what I was...
partisanship in news outlets and what happened in 1790.
So I didn't go through all your slides when you sent them, but I'm hoping that somewhere in there... So the title is a riff on the celebrities. They're just like us.
Yeah.
So do you have, like, you know, they're always, like, shopping at Whole Foods. Like, you know, there's, you know, Johnny Depp shopping at Whole Foods.
Ooh.
He's just like us. I hope you have an image of, like, George Washington shopping at Whole Foods or something.
I am not good at PowerPoint or Photoshop. So I taught myself PowerPoint basically for the sole purpose of putting this slide deck together today. So I hope it works. I honestly have no idea. We'll see how good I am at teaching myself things.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
And then our third speaker is Daryl Miller, who's not affiliated with WCHL yet.
Yet.
So I recruited Daryl from church of all places. Daryl and I go to the same church, and there are nerds everywhere.
Right, right.
Even in church. Actually, been an interesting study of the ratio of nerds in Episcopal churches, because it seems
pretty high. Yeah, I would imagine that, yeah.
So Daryl is a professor at Duke. He teaches in the law school. He teaches constitutional law, and his talk is called, Can a Constitutional Amendment Be Unconstitutional? The 13th Amendment you've probably heard of, and the one you probably haven't.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's about. I have not seen his slides.
I know about this 13th Amendment, this mysterious 13th Amendment. So I'm excited to hear this one, too. Yeah.
You're like in the know. You're
and
part
this
of the
is
secret
the, club. We've talked about this before. I don't know if we talked about it as part of this conversation, but I've talked about it with Scott Washington, especially when we do our This Week in History feature. Like, just how unknown Civil War history and Reconstruction history is. Like, we either harp on the Civil War and then we completely ignore Reconstruction, or we harp on the Civil War but we ignore very important aspects of that history too. So a lot is just forgotten of really important stuff. So this is going to be a really good talk. I'm looking forward to it.
So, and I had just pulled up Daryl's bio earlier, because I think I'm going to be the MC tonight. I'm not sure. We never really know till we show up. But
I'm going to get there at 7:30 after I get off the air, and it's just going to be total disarray, and Meg's going to be like, will you MC?
So I only know Daryl from church and his wife and their two kids, and he's this very just, you know, unassuming guy who's super nice. And then I just pull up his bio. Miller graduated cum laude from Harvard Law School and served as editor of the Harvard Law Review. In addition to his law degree, Miller holds degrees from Oxford University. Okay, so we're bringing some heavyweight nerds
Welcome
tonight.
To Chapel Hill, where everyone's got six PhDs, and they don't even bother to mention them, because everyone else does too. Yeah.
So everybody should come out. It starts right around 7. We'll do each 20-minute talk, and then we have like a 10 to 15-minute break where you can mix and mingle and freshen your beverage, get a snack, and then come back. And the whole thing goes until, I don't know, 8:30, 8:45.
Yeah.
You can be home at a reasonable time.
Cool.
And learn some stuff. The tagline for Nerd Night is, it's like the Discovery Channel with beer.
Nice.
There you go.
Awesome.
So we're going to talk about books inspired by tonight's Nerd Night?
We're going to talk about books inspired by Nerd Night. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Let's do it.
So books inspired by Nerd Night. So Nerd Night in general, but also like the theme of democracy. So the first one that I'm going to recommend is one that I actually happen to have with me, because
imagine
I was putting
together
the talk earlier today, and I knew that I needed information out of this. Hang on, just how long is this book? Counting the index and the bibliography and everything. This is a 1,044-page book, but the actual text only goes on for like 800 pages. So it's the bibliography and the index is 200 pages long on this one. It is The Rise of American Democracy, Jefferson to Lincoln by Sean Wilentz. It won the Bancroft Prize for History. It was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. And it is a fascinating study of the history of like early American democracy. And it really gets into the dirty history of American democracy and all of the infighting and the partisan politics and the squabbling that we completely gloss over in the high school history textbooks. It's really, really well written. It's a fun read. It's a pretty fast read, actually, considering how like dense it is and how much it covers. But it's a terrific book about American democracy. And
awesome.
one of the fun stories that I'm going to tell is something that I learned from reading this book. So
that's a big book, man. About, I'm just saying.
It's about newspapers in the 1790s is the story that I'm going to tell tonight. So
I look forward to hearing it.
And just how partisan, just how deeply partisan they were. Yeah.
Okay, so I am looking forward to all the talks, and I have a soft spot in. So I love to read books about. Circus folk and carnies. I love to read books about zombies.
Right.
And I love to read books about conspiracy theories. I do.
There's
it's
one
like
book that combines all of these
be.
Together in fascinating ways.
Conspiracy theories. I'm really looking forward to Tom Jensen's talk. Mm. And then I was thinking about like conspiracy theories that it made me think of from years of working at the reference desk at libraries. And the days of the reference desk and the reference collection are kind of waning because information and Google and all of that. But we used to have all of these encyclopedias and dictionaries and all the books that we kept behind the desk.
Yes, yeah.
Some of them because they were super valuable super costly. And if we lost them, it would be high replacement cost. Some of them because they were truly reference books. And some of them because they would get stolen all the time, right?
Ooh.
So we kept them back there. Like, you would come in, for example, if you wanted the Anarchist Cookbook.
Yes.
Which is a classic. We would have to take your driver's license and hold it while we gave you that book to read.
No
this was
self-respecting
a thing.
Anarchist has a driver's license.
Like,
come
check
on,
your anarchist
people.
Card at the door.
Yeah.
But another one, another one that I remember from many, many moons ago was we had this big, like, three-volume encyclopedia of secret societies and world conspiracies.
Wow.
And
so
it
you
would
ran the dark
walk.
Arts section in the library then, basically.
So anyways, I'm not recommending that book. I was just sharing a fond memory of the library. Like,
yeah.
So anyways, the first book that I want to recommend is a nonfiction book from about 3 or 4 years ago now called Suspicious Minds. Mm-hmm. It's by a British author. It's nonfiction. And it's called Suspicious Minds, Why We Believe Conspiracy Theories. So it's not so much an in-depth look at conspiracy theories. It's more a look at why our brains accept things that aren't actually logical.
Oh, nice.
Like these things that we shouldn't believe. Why, like what's the psychology of the human mind that gets us to believe these things that otherwise, come on, are just
like
crazy.
Right.
And it's a really good book. I heard the author interviewed on NPR when the book came out. He was great. The book is great. So that's my first recommendation, Suspicious Minds, Why We Believe Conspiracy Theories by Rob Brotherton.
Nice. Okay, let me go back for a second. How often did people come by and request the Anarchist Cookbook?
Oh, all the time.
All the time, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was those, and I'm trying to think, the conspiracy theories and the secret societies book. The other one, which was one of my favorite weird reference books, it was big like that book, and it was heavy, and it was something like, it was from the American Institute for Architects, and it was a book about all of the architectural standards, or maybe it was like construction standards, like, what's the standard for a toilet distance from the wall? Or what's the standard measurement for a downspout to this and that? And the reason that we kept it back there was because it was like a $500 book. And so if we put it out and it walked, we would have to take a pretty big ding. So they were always, like, reference books were delightful. They're sort of going the way of the dinosaurs in many cases, but they were great.
I was waiting for that story to end with the distance between the toilet and the wall and the S-curve and the downspout and all of these things to add up to 666. Right? Someone's in there like fiddling
confirmed.
With notes. Yes, exactly.
They formed a triangle.
They formed
Hashtag
a triangle.
Illuminati confirmed.
Okay, so jumping off of that, I had completely forgotten about this book, but it's such a fun book. Them by John Ronson.
Oh, I love John Ronson.
Isn't that great? Like, such
yes.
a, like, he's a great writer. He's British, right? And he wrote this book back in 2001 called Them, Adventures with Extremists,
yes.
where he just, like, did a deep dive and went and talked with, like, radical Islamic fundamentalists in Britain and, like, conspiracy theorists who tried to infiltrate the Bilderberg group in California. And David Icke, who's the guy who I think Tom Jensen is probably going to mention tonight, but he's the real nutjob conspiracy theorist who thinks that every world leader is secretly a 12-foot-tall lizard in disguise from space.
He is going to talk about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about that.
That
is, like, absolutely insane. But John Ronson and like went to all of these people and was like, can I hang out with you? And spent some time like talking with all of these people. And it's such a fascinating book.
John Ronson is awesome.
He's
I love
terrific.
All of his work. So I'm going to ping off that one because that makes me think of this is not a book, but this is an author who we both spoke to on the show, Bronwyn Dickey, who came on when she talked about the book that she wrote about pit bulls. She also has a great piece, and this is available out there on the interwebs. This is for Popular Mechanics, and the it's a feature article called Climb Aboard, Ye Who Seek the Truth. She spent a week on a conspiracy theorist cruise.
Oh, so, yeah, she told us about this. Yes.
So if you like John Ronson or if you like conspiracy theories, which, as you know now, I do.
I'm starting to get the sense that Tom Jensen's talk is going to be the highlight of tonight's evening.
Who knows?
Just, like,
I
we
mean,
keep
if
like,
he's
gravitating
bring lizard
towards
people.
This. Yeah, right. Oh, he's not going to bring lizard people. They'll already be there among us.
Or perhaps he is one.
Ooh, nice.
So, anyways. Just Google conspiracy theory and Bronwyn Dickey, and it's a wonderful, wonderful article about her experience on this cruise. And it was, it was a trip.
How do you spell Bronwyn? B-R-O-N-W-Y-N,
oh, you
right?
You and your questions. B-R-O-N-W-E-N.
E-N, okay.
E-N.
All right.
So the other book that I wanted to recommend is thinking about the theme of Nerd Night and thinking about yesterday is I want to recommend the book Election by Tom Perata, which the movie was based on. So many people know the movie with Reese Witherspoon
Matthew Broderick. Chris Klein,
such a great movie. The book is also wonderful. So the book came out in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And Tom Perata, people know him from The Leftovers and from, what was the one? The neighbor. Anyways, he's great. And Election is wonderful. So it's about this very type A, ambitious young girl named Tracy Flick who's running to be class body or student body president. And it's all about high school and politics and campaigning. And it's just wonderful. And it's kind of dark.
Yeah.
So that was the second book that came to my mind.
Awesome. So my last recommendation and staying with conspiracy theories, my favorite conspiracy theory book is the one that's all about the Beatles conspiracy, about Paul secretly having been killed in a car crash and replaced with an imposter. It's by R. Gary Patterson, and the book is called The Walrus Was Paul. And it goes into, like, super fun book that goes into the history of the conspiracy theory, but then, like, actually delves into all of the albums, all of the songs, all of the album covers, and these kind of clues that people have picked up and read into the album art and the albums and the movies and the songs, some of which are specific enough that towards the end, you have to draw the conclusion that the Beatles started playing along and putting these clues in there just to screw with people. Like,
right.
The best one is on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, where you can hold a mirror up to the drum. And, like, if you hold a mirror right up to the center of the drum, like, the word Lonely Hearts, like, becomes a message pointing directly to Paul McCartney and saying he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Right?
It's hilarious. And, like, they do it. Actually do it. It's hilarious. But, yeah, it's a great book. The Walrus Was Paul.
Do I have time for one more?
Go for it.
Okay. Last one. Again, thinking about all of this stuff, another book that came to mind, and this is a kid's book. Mm-hmm. So the book is called Fake Mustache by Tom Engelberger. So people know Tom from the Origami Yoda series. If you're mm-hmm. listening out there and you have a kid from 3rd grade to 7th grade, they will know the Origami Yoda series. It was like up there with Wimpy Kid. It is a huge series. And he's written some other books too. And this one, it's just, for me, it was a laugh out loud, completely bizarre, far-fetched plot, but it's wonderful. So the story of this is regular old kid Lenny, his best friend Casper, who likes to do magic tricks and play do pranks and all of this. Casper gets some money from his grandmother, and he spends it on a fake mustache. Mm. But the mustache actually gives him powers, and he uses them for evil. So he starts robbing banks. He starts getting these great fortune, and then he decides he's going to what? Run for president.
Oh, God.
So it is this wild, wacky, slapdash caper of a book that you just have to get into and go with. It makes kids laugh out loud. It makes really no sense, but it's wonderful. So the whole thing is when he puts on this evil mustache and he runs for president, and his friend is the only one who could possibly stop him.
Oh,
and
nice.
There's all of these crazy references to the Wild West and old-timey things. It's a great book. Fake Mustache by Tom Engelberger.
And like ripped from the headlines too, right?
So I got to scoot now because I got to go get ready.
That's good.
In a mere 2 hours, it's Nerd Night number 3 at the Carolina Brewery with you and Tom Jensen and Daryl Miller.
It's going to be awesome.
And all y'all out there listening.
Come on by the Carolina Brewery, 7 o'clock till like 8:30, 8:45. It's going to be a lot of fun. Susan Brown, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's 4:54. Osgood now.